I'm Ellis Genge and you're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate podcast.
You're listening to Bears Beyond the Gate, a Bristol Bears podcast made by fans for fans. With 2.5 season card holders at Ashton Gate, who love the club, the game and all things Bears. I'm Pete and I'm joined by Miles and Lee for a cheeky beer and a bit of rugby banter at the Bristol Beer Factory tap room. Well, boys, we don't have a game to preview this week, but of course we do have a massive game to review. Big game, the big one, in fact, on Saturday. In many ways, because it was a Saturday kickoff, 3 o'clock kickoff, it meant that you could have an elongated day, a lot of build up to the game and stuff like that. So, boys, we made the most of it, didn't we, on Saturday? We decided to meet up at, it was about 12 o'clock, wasn't it, lads?
It was.
Couldn't really make it much earlier, could we?
Because the pubs weren't
open. we were waiting outside. But, Miles, tell us why we decided to come out early on Saturday.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, we were waiting for the pubs to open. Actually, we were on a bit of a marketing mission, shall I say, on Saturday. As fans, hopefully fans are aware, we've been put up for some podcast awards. So we were sort of spreading the bit of love about the podcast, handing out some rather new swanky business cards, of which a mate of mine's had printed up for us.
Did he give them to us for free?
Don't worry about that.
How much of a friend is he?
Well, even getting into some bar supporters, weren't we? So we were hanging out at the Hen and Chicken bars down North Street, actually chatting to a lot of fans, pimping ourselves. No mercy, we were talking to anyone. We didn't care. Bristol fans, Bath fans, and we loved it, didn't we? And that was even before the game.
Well, we've been talking for weeks about we wanted to do something like that anyway, didn't we?
Yeah.
And, what better opportunity? The biggest game for us this season, the West Country Derby. And it was brilliant. Loved it. Loved every second of it. It was great meeting the listeners. Lots of Bath fans we chatted to as well. And I'll tell you what did strike me quite early is that does every Bath rugby supporter know Tommy Dabinett? Because, when we mention his name, we know Tom.
And we should just remind people that Tom Dabinett was the Bath fan that we had on last week. But of course, you all know that, don't you? Because everybody knows
him.
But yeah, you're right. It was great fun. We did decide that we were gonna go down North Street, hand out a few business cards. We thought it's time to push it, but I mean, as a geography teacher, it was quite weird because a lot of the times in my career, we've been on geography field trips and I've forced kids to do questionnaire surveys and they absolutely hate it because it means going up to total strangers and asking them a few questions. And of course, as a teacher, I never actually have to do it myself. I just force the kids to do it. And to be honest, I felt when we were in the Hen and Chicken early.
We were a little bit,
I don't know if I want to go talk to someone.
It's funny, mate. I think the more beers we had, the more Dutch courage we had, didn't we?
The easier it got.
We definitely did have a couple of cheekies to get us going. But once the thumb came out of the dike, is that right?
Let's not go there, Pete. Hang on, move on.
I mean about, the things that stop rivers flooding.
Yeah.
But once the seal had broken, that's what I'm saying, we didn't stop. We didn't stop chatting to people all for about, it must have been about 2.5 hours.
It felt like it.
We should, actually, at this point, we should name check a few people we saw, didn't we? Because we did bump into a few people. So first person I'd like to say shout out to was John Woods and his son. And I gave him a business card and he said, I already listen. And we had a nice chat. So, and then we saw him again, didn't we? That was really nice. Nice bloke. Can you think of anyone else, boys, that we?
We had a lovely chap called Rory in the tobacco factory.
Big Rory.
Very knowledgeable.
He was very knowledgeable. In fact, he was very, very knowledgeable. He talked to us as if he knew us. And then I said, have you listened to the pod? He went, the what?
Slip him a business card and he will now.
So he definitely said he was going to listen. I think I persuaded one Bar fan to definitely listen, but he wasn't keen at all. But
maybe after the loss, not a chance now.
Who else do we bump into?
The trouble is, it's remembering people's names, isn't it? Because like you
say, Ian Parker.
Ian Parker.
Big fan. Yeah. Came up and found us in front of the Bristol beer factory kiosk outside the ground, isn't it? Great to see him.
We often bump in as Dan Masters. We bump into in the tap room here. We saw him and his little crew. So yeah, a lot of people we chatted to.
Obviously our good friends, you know, Katie and Nessa.
Nessa. And after the game, we saw Stoner and Binsey and Mike and Steve and everyone. I mean, this is what we love about rugby. It's just starting to build a kind of community of banter.
Yeah, and we should also say thanks to the Hen and Chicken.
Yeah.
Spirited on North Street. The Tobacco Factory, because, you know, generally people are good as gold.
To be fair, we asked permission in the Hen and Chicken and Spirited, and then after that we just didn't bother.
We didn't care.
The Tobacco Factory had no idea. Well, we were just handing out.
We'll cross them off that list then.
And of course the tap room as well. We came in here.
Yeah, friends of ours anyway. Absolutely.
It was great fun. It was a great build up to the game, and there was a lot of buzz. I mean, North Street was absolutely buzzing.
It was amazing. You know, I was a little bit worried because at midday, I had a feeling that it could be by 6 o'clock, could be a pram home moment, really, really, you know, where I'd need to be pushed home after a few beers. But luckily, I survived the 6 hour slog, as it were. Loved the rugby, you know, steadied the ship. Well, I got home in one piece.
Well, Lee, I think the other thing we need to mention is that it wasn't just about giving out the cards, but Miles came fully loaded up with a brand new sound recorder because our old one broke down last week. So we've all clubbed together to get a half decent new sound recorder. But Miles came out with his massive headphones. It was like an outside broadcasting. Well, he was like a producer, director.
It was great, wasn't it?
And once he was all over the place, and it was a man possessed, and he got his mojo together, and then he was recording left, right and centre, random people. Fantastic.
He was like a man with a belated Christmas present.
A little bit like that. I mean, I didn't have the sort of sound boom, as it were, from the BBC, but yeah, you know, we got ourselves a new little recording device. Brought my headphones out. Harassed a few people at the end. But, you know, fans love talking to us. And they, you know, after a few beers, they don't mind chatting about rugby.
Which leads us nicely onto our first little feature, is that Miles did record. We chatted to quite a few people before and after the game. And then Miles handed over the audio thing to me to do a bit of editing, and it took me about 5 hours today
to get it from his hand.
but basically to try and kind of figure out who was who and if it was before or after the game. So anyway, what I've done is I've put together a little package. It's about 3 minutes. Some of the people we chatted to beforehand, some of the people we chatted to after, you kind of have to figure it out yourself, whether it's a Bath fan or a Bristol fan. But I would tell you the last comment on this little audio package is absolute class. So let's have a listen.
Hello, I'm Jules.
And who we got?
And I'm Darren.
All right. Yeah, they're still talking together.
I would expect or hope that Bath would win, but obviously we got quite a few players away on international duty. I think quite a few more than Bristol have at the moment, which obviously will have an impact. But yeah, I reckon we could win.
I think we are the underdog, but sometimes it's nice being the underdog. I'm sure Finn Russell can get a nasty tackle or two in the first 10 minutes just to try and sort him out, maybe in the warm-up. But no, it's nice being the underdogs. No pressure. All the pressure's on them to carry on their streak. So let's see how we go.
I think we've got a great chance of winning the game. Obviously, Finn Russell's key to that. But I think all the South Africans still being around in the pack as well is really going to give us a great chance. I think, as always, it's just going to be a really great competitive game between Bath and Bristol.
If we could obviously target Finn Russell, that's probably our only chance of winning the game, potentially.
I wouldn't say your only chance. Finn might have a bad game of his own accord, as he sometimes does, because he has good days and bad days. I think it's going to be a very close game. I would look forward to the game, and Bath are going to win.
Right, so we found a listener to our podcast. Tell us your name.
I'm Ian Parker. I'm a bit nervous about today, if I'm honest.
Okay.
Even with England internationals missing, I'm just a bit nervous. So when I think we're going to get bullied up front, and I think with Finn Russell in the side, they've got what we haven't. They've got that X factor.
Yeah, it was a hell of a game, wasn't it? You know, what an advert for Premiership rugby in West Country rugby. You know, on a different day, result could have been slightly different, but Bristol were full value, I thought, for the scoreline and the result, and the atmosphere was amazing.
We arrived here without much hope, and a great surprise. I think we made it really difficult for ourselves in the second half, but overall the boys came through at the end. Definitely happy. I'm looking forward to getting home and having a listen to the player mic this evening.
Without a doubt, yeah, definitely looking forward to it. Had a good night.
There we go.
I think it was awesome, but I was very nervous. Very nervous game.
Half went on the first half. I thought we were well in control, and then I thought there's a 40 minutes to go, and I know with Bristol it'll be a long 40 minutes. And before I got back from the bar, they got a try in back, and then I started to get worried. At the brisk.
Not confident after the first 90 seconds, but then we picked it up. First half, we had a good, really good first half, moving the ball well, got a good few tries in. I don't know what the team told us at half time, but we didn't do very well, we came back out. But we stuck in there, we got a win in the end, which is the main thing against Bath.
Mikey, final thoughts. We finally got the win. Binsey's happy, Steve's happy. Are you happy with the win?
Well, to be honest, I'm just glad to be here.
So there you go, boys. As Mikey said,
good old Mike.
I'm just happy to be here. And in many ways, that's kind of what that was about yesterday. It was about the occasion. It was about one of those sporting events where you say, you know what? I was there on one of the kind of most harum scarum sort of games of rugby that I guess most of us have seen. Am I right in saying it's the highest scoring
since 2002?
Oh, 101 points.
Yeah, we
scored 8. Did they score 7? Was it 15 tries?
Eight and six.
14 tries.
It was hard to keep up by the end, but just the event itself and the spectacle, 14 tries. I mean, you're right. For anyone to be there on Saturday afternoon was just like a big tick, you know, brilliant.
For me, I think the biggest thing was because obviously we talked about having a big...
We talked about it.
It's starting to seep into the woodwork, isn't it? The fabric.
We don't just talk about it. We do.
But yeah, the big thing for me was kind of, you know, we talked about obviously getting the letdown from, you know, a big crowd against Chiefs, didn't we?
Yeah.
And it was nice to finally, you know, to have a full house, a sellout, and actually play with the Bears way and perform like that. But I have to admit, boys, it was bloody nail-biting stuff, wasn't it? I felt like an emotional wreck after that game.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree. But I think before we get on to chat a little bit more about how it left us like gibbering wrecks, I think we should turn to our followers or our listeners. And as we've done a lot this season, I put out a clarion call for short, sharp summaries. But this time I thought, you know what? This is a special occasion. This is the big one. And it was such a great game that I put a few criteria in that I wanted to see a little bit more than just random sort of stream of consciousness.
Oh, okay.
So I said that it had to be focused. It had to be insightful. It had to be laced with emotion. But also, I wanted a bit of creativity. And I think I said acrostic poems were welcome or some sort of creative, maybe rhyming. And I've got to say, boys, the quality
they never
we
let
got.
Us down, did they?
I mean, it's actually.
This is A-level standard stuff,
kind of,
isn't it?
Yeah. I kind of joked it as a bit of an assignment from the teacher to his class. And I tell you what. I mean, if this was one of my GCSE classes, I'd be so proud of the students.
Yeah.
We don't call them A's and B's anymore for those old people out there. We call them, it's like 1 to 9 now. These were 9s.
Yeah.
So I thought, boys, I did actually say I was only going to pick the best, but you know what? I read through them.
They're all
today,
the best.
And they were all so good. And the fact that we haven't got really a game to preview, I thought, well, we can actually spend a little bit of time reading out all of these submissions because people made a big effort. So actually, I think it turned out we've got 21 to read out and we've split it into three groups of seven. So we're all going to contribute. So here we go, everyone. What we'll do, if we just say who it was and before we read it out and we'll take it from there. So I'm going to kick off with the first one, which is a very good Well, someone I feel like I've developed over the few weeks that really makes an effort to do this, and this is Hammy Hambley. And I'm going to start with Hammy Hambley, because last week, Hammy and Robin, now I know our twin brothers, both did acrostics, and I never read them out, and I felt a bit guilty about it, because I just didn't have time. So we're going to start with him, but they do like the bullet points as well. So Hammy, first one I'm going to read out, he said, new... bear cub in the house, so I'm a complete emotional wreck after watching the game. Oh, so he's had a little kid. Congratulations.
Well done. Brilliant, brilliant.
Still felt nervous after previous losses when we had big leads. Well, he wasn't wrong there, was he? BVJR is our best signing this season. One result doesn't mean changes at the top aren't needed. We beat you up at the end, Bath. So, yeah, nice brilliant. One. That was good. It was passion. That like was that. Laced with emotion. Yeah. Hello. Let's crack on. Let's go through the next. Next one from a good friend of ours, the pod, Marcus Watts. This was a kind of limerick.
This was the star, wasn't it?
This was the first one. It was the first one that came in.
And it was early.
First kid to hand his homework in first. Appreciate that. So, Marcus, here we go. There was once a player called Finn, Bath's Messi with a big Scottish grin. He came to the gate, gave us the game on a plate, and the Bears walked away with the win.
Yeah, I love it.
What about that? Now,
I have to credit Marcus, because that set the standard, I think.
Oh, it's a very high standard.
I don't know how he can perform to that level that early on a Sunday morning.
That is quality. Right, next one. This is Rihanna Storyteller, another big supporter. This was great spectacle, entertaining rugby with an exclamation mark, actually in the middle of a sentence, but you know, let's not worry about that. Finally, support lines working, much needed relief from the doom and gloom. More of this, please. Great shift from everyone, but still handling errors, discipline issues, panicky solutions in the end. Thank God for Finn Russell having a cocky day. Interesting. I'm quite sure that was. Next one is a very good friend of ours, Andrew Cleaver at Bris Vadar. And I mean, we know he's a team.
Sir Andrew of Cleves.
Yeah. And of course, he had to do something a little bit different. So here is our first Bears Bath haiku. And for those that don't know what a haiku is, it's kind of one of these poems that's got something to do with syllables and stuff like that, all in the same thing. So here we go. This is his haiku. Actually, I should say haiku, not haiku, I think. So here we go. Raucous, excited crowd, Batley galloping, scores, victorious Bears. Very, very, very,
very good.
Very good, Andrew.
Oh, and just on that note, just quickly, we should say happy birthday to Arthur, 17 today.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
So I hope he's had a fantastic day.
Yeah, and hope he's well.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, next on, Jonathan Legg. Now, of course, sometimes, even with the best students, you know, you do get a little message from them. When they're giving us some sort of excuse about not doing their homework. And unfortunately, Jonathan, fair play to him, didn't do this, but he did send an excuse in. And he said, so this is Jonathan Legg, too early on a Sunday morning to be doing my homework, sir. Plus, need to drag the kids out of bed to get to Gordano for training. I guess that's rugby. Gordano RFC for training. So, Jonathan, that's fair enough. I mean, even if you'd use the dog ate my homework excuse, I'd probably let you off. But basically...
Charlie Rice's club, isn't
it? Is. I think so, yeah. But taking the kids to play rugby as an excuse for not doing your homework, we'll let you off for that.
We're going
to
get
well done,
one.
Jonathan. Right, next one. Let's crack on. Ah, Rachel Pierce, another friend of ours, someone we see well. She's done a very, very, very... short but effective acrostic using the word bears, and she's done brilliant, effective, agile, resilient, successful.
Great.
Thanks, Rachel. That's fantastic. And then we've got the other Hambley, Robin Hambley. He's done an acrostic, but what I would call the more sophisticated acrostics, where you don't just put single words like Rachel did, although it was good, Rachel. He's done a kind of sentence related acrostic, so that's quite, you know, it's an extension task.
Another level.
Yeah, another level. It's higher level, this. So he's got it, and it's based on Bath. So the acrostic, he goes, Bennard was all over the place again. Ashton Gate was electric. That's the Bears' way of playing rugby. Have we turned a corner? ? Oh, very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So that's me done. I think it's over to you now, Lee.
Yep. So I've got a Bristol Bears acrostic.
Yep.
Right, to start with. And this one rhymes as well.
Brilliant.
And this one is my personal favourite. Okay. And it is someone I know as well, Connor Knapp.
Yep.
At Connor Knapp 19. So we've got Bristol brought their A game, rallied for the win. Ibatoi strikes again. Schroeder in the bin.
Ooh.
2 points for the men of Bath, offset by a try. Lane in for the intercept. Bath sent home to cry. Everyone now wondering, are we kicking on? Really hope that the boys can bring some fight and soldier on.
That is
a work of art.
That is brilliant.
And that was done, I mean, that was still early.
They probably still had a hangover. So that's phenomenal from Connor.
We have some amazing listeners, don't we?
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Next one. John Phipps, another good friend of ours at BS 15 Red. So we've got a full house at the gate is always great. A game full of tries, of which Bears scored 8. Some of the rugby we played was naughty, leaving some Bath supporters feeling rather salty.
I feel we're doing something for lifelong learning here.
Right, next we got Councillor Steve Smith.
Councillor Steve Smith.
This is the non-sandpaper.
Yeah, not that Steve Smith. Yes. Not the crying on. You're crying on the telly. Not him. You're crying on the telly.
This one's obviously much more intellectual
and,
as well.
And actually, we should say that Steve, you know, we know he's a councillor, one of our local councillors.
We don't hold that against him,
No, not at all. But he did rant. He got really off on one last week after the Connacht game. He did send us some. You know,
well, to be fair, I think there was a few of us
And it just shows that he put political sort of, you know, persuasions aside, and it was just a human being.
He did.
So
right.
What's he said?
So we've got effort so much better. Nice to see them running out of the 22. Jimmy and Ben Hard deadly in the centre. Odd substitutions at the end. Yelled myself hoarse. Emotions high in the doorman. Divvied up too much ball at breakdown. Sorry, I was trying to make that rhyme, but I couldn't get it.
You felt as though it might be there, but you've done well.
Iffy discipline, terrific day out at the gate, up the Bears.
That's it. It's passionate, laced with emotion. I also got to say, I don't use it very often, but I do like people who use the word terrific. Yeah. It's like a great word, isn't it? Terrific day.
Expective accounts.
Terrific, yeah.
Right, now we've got Kevin James Riley, at Kevin James Riley. Belief in the game plan, running the ball, in discipline again, and superb handling.
And that's an acrostic, which means
acrostic,
Briz.
Yeah,
very good from Kevin. Someone I know very well. I know he comes from the same sector as me, an educationalist. But brilliant, Kevin. Thanks for that.
Yep. Now we've got...
And this is your last one, isn't it?
This is my last one. So we've got, this is Bear Over the Bridge, at Bear Over Bridge.
Oh, hang on, weren't you doing Rob Jones?
Was that that was just a bit of a wind up, wasn't it?
I'll just mention this one. It was just that we had one Bath fan come on and responded to our short, sharp summary, which is nice to know that they're interested in our. But he kind of initially said Bath were missing 2/3 of their first team, Bristol with one international call up. If I was Lamb, I'd be worried.
You would have been proud of me because I straight batted him.
You did. You straight batted him right out of there. To be fair, he dropped it short, didn't he? He did. And it was rising. It was a good bouncer.
Yeah.
Bit of chin music, and you got well in line and got on your back foot.
Positionally perfect.
And said, point well made. That's how you got a full face of the bat on it. Point well made, but those same missing internationals did play in the reverse fixture, and you only won by a single pot back then. Not only did you get in line, you then just ran it down to third man for a couple of runs there.
Brilliant. But I have to confess, I can't take the credit. Because Marcus Watts had already mentioned that before. Yeah. So I credit Marcus Watts for that one.
But, and to be fair, Rob Jones came back.
He did, yeah.
And this was in the second innings when you were bowling at him.
Yeah.
And you put a full length, he felt a full length delivery. If you like switch your batting was. Yeah. And then he said, fair point. It was a fantastic game. It irks me that international call-ups only affect one game the entire season. It just so happens to be the local derby. And then we were like, then it was a loving.
Yeah.
Loving after that. Like, I mean, we absolutely agree.
We were having tea and sandwiches in the pavilion
but
by then,
this
weren't
was you?
You
again. Yeah. I mean, this was like, you know, he was just tossing you up a couple of full tosses so you could hit six. You're like, yeah, we would have preferred two full straight teams going head to head. You boys played a full part in what was a memorable game.
Yeah.
Lovely coming together at the end. And that is, that's you know, if international, you know, if you know, some of the big issues going on in the world today,
yeah,
if they could be solved with that sort of level of diplomacy, the world would be a better place, wouldn't it?
It would. I mean, and it was genuinely, I mean, I almost put hashtag rugby community at that stage because I was feeling so loved up. But
anyway, Moving on.
Went to the toilet.
Right, my last one. So we've got an acrostic, and this is a good one because this is messy.
Ooh. Right. Hang on, so, having said... Oh, yeah, go for it, yeah.
So this is Bear Over the Bridge. So we've got magnificent atmosphere. Each player wanted it. Some beautiful attacking by both sides. Some questionable defence too, as always. Isn't Messi supposed to be good at kicking? I wouldn't mind watching games like this every week, even if we don't always win. Up the bloody Bears. Fair, obviously, that last comment wasn't part of Messi.
Acceptable use of a swear word. We should just say, that for those of you that don't know, and I don't know if there may not be anyone out there, but this whole Messi reference comes from the new Netflix Six Nations Full Contact, which is great. Great watch.
Oh, yeah,
if you're lucky enough to have Netflix, I'd totally recommend it. But Finn Russell's previewed or profiled in the first one, and there's kind of some bit where someone says he's been referred to like the rugby Messi, and he bigs it up a bit, and he's kind of say, oh, you know, you can tell he loves it.
Yeah.
So this is where this whole Messi thing comes from. Yeah. And of course, the irony being that he wasn't really, because his last kick of the game was pretty shocking. So.
Hence the reason I did post a tweet out this morning with Messi blowing a kiss for our lovely Bath supporters this morning.
Actually, I'm going to let you do one more, Lee. I've just counted up, so you can do Mark Hutton.
Mark Hutton,
the last
right.
one.
Another long-time listener as well. Hiya, Mark. So we've got playing with pace and accuracy makes us almost possible to defend against. Hence a massive score. But, B-U-T, in capitals, we have to stop other teams scoring too. Cut out the errors and reduce the penalty count in the red zone, and things will start to look up. Fair comment.
Very good. Yeah. Very balanced. Yeah, good right, comment, let's crack so. On. Miles, your turn. You're going to finish us off. You're going to bring up the rear.
Well, absolutely. I'm not sure I've got any acrostics. I've got a haiku later on, but we'll start with some feedback. So first of all, it's on the great Kate McCoy, at Kate McCoy.
Katie McCoy.
Literal and metaphoric fireworks. Good little point there. At a sold-out Ashton Gate. Players really fighting for that win, and passion showed through everyone. Proud Bear fans with not much of my voice left today.
Well done.
Love it.
Well,
normally, I'm not a big fan of the word passion, but this time I'm going to let
it
go.
I get that. Yeah. Oh, okay. Another word. So this is from Briz, Briz _ Lee. Papering over the cracks. Okay. Who cares when we beat Bath? Passion, we'll get begin.
We're allowing it, we're allowing
passion
it.
From the players. Jimmy and Bats were clearly loving it. Van Rensburg, give him a 7-year contract extension.
Bit dangerous.
Yeah. Lamb being told to do what Steve Lansdowne. Is patience wearing thin? _ Entertaining, but stressful. Yeah. Okay, well, two talking points. We'll pick up on later. Another one, love it. Dave, who's at the grumpy toad. a lot more tense than it needed to be, but will be remembered as one of the all-time top games. I think we'll have to agree with them there.
Yeah.
Also a chance to put some perspective on our league position. With the exception of Saints, and maybe Sale later today, who didn't come good.
No, they didn't.
On Gloucester. They did us a favour. We have only lost one more game than every other team above us.
I mean, that's a good point, because we were very doom and gloomy last week.
And
about that season over, and Bath game was only the only thing we've got to look forward to. And actually,
we're only one more loss, aren't we? All the teams. We'll up in a while, league position, because we've got a big gap and go from here.
Got him, Miles. Okay. Let's crack on.
Right, Steve Bold.
The Arsenal centre-back.
Yeah, absolutely. I realise he's not quite spelled.
So there
the
we
right
are.
Way.
I thought many a fan probably would have thought this yesterday. That's why I buy my season ticket. The Bears roller coaster. Great tries, errors, brutal hits, ref debate, TMOs, comebacks, jeopardy. Yes, there's stuff to work on. Bath were missing players, but so were we. But let's stay the positive and enjoy it. So much easier to push on after the big W. Great, great point there, Steve. Loved it.
Yeah.
And actually, we've got Dan Masters at Spaniel Masters.
Yeah, he's one that we always see in there. I see him all the time
here
in the tap room. Yeah,
good lad.
Big fan of the pod.
Big fan. Thanks, Dan. So we actually played some rugby. Pass and move. Couldn't agree more. The bitterness from the Bath fans regarding their missing players is hilarious. which we've pointed out.
Yeah.
Let's not forget how many of our first 15 were missing too. Oh, and those business cards are a beaut.
Referring to our newbies.
Oh, absolutely.
He did that. He loved those business cards. Right, okay. Couple more then, Miles.
A couple more little, and a haiku for you from David Rogers. Ashtongate, Bristol. Defence has no place in here. 101.
Very clever.
Dave Rogers. Very, very clever.
Very good, Dave Rogers. Two more then.
Two more. So we've got Gary Abbott.
Yeah.
Fantastic attacking rugby from both sides. Not sure about defence from both sides.
Okay. Or you can't use the same thing twice.
Okay. I might have to mark this and send it back for it to be improved.
A few fans, but it's love the lack of kick ping pong. Fully agree.
Yeah.
Still smiling.
Yeah, good little phrase there, but yeah, he's got to rethink that.
Okay. And obviously one of our biggest fans and super fan is our Debs from K-Town.
K-Town. We're going to finish off with Debs from K-Town.
We're going to finish off Debs. Here we are. When we
you need to do this in a Winston Churchill kind of accent, Miles.
I'm not sure.
Chilean. You've got to do it holding your
I'm not sure we're going to do it on... All right, listeners, let's pretend we're on the beaches of Normandy point. When war isn't over, the victory isn't done. We'll fight to the finish. And when all is said and done, we'll cry, glory, glory, glory.
You can almost hear a I'm
going to give Debs a big hug at work tomorrow. Yeah. Quality. Thanks very much.
I've got to say,
that.
Boys, I always feel like we've just got to finish the pod there.
Yeah.
I mean, what can we add?
That's the end
of it. What can we add? I feel humbled by some of that quality.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
So I just got to say a big thank you to everybody and everybody who is also, like, also replies to some of our posts or our tweets. You know, we get some great replies and sometimes we throw little grenades out there to see what's out there. Sometimes we just say stuff because we can, because why not? And we get some great responses. I mean, to be honest, if we didn't get all that sort of stuff, we probably would have packed up this a long time ago, wouldn't we? So brilliant.
Well, we were saying yesterday, and we genuinely mean this, our pod's for everyone, isn't it? I mean, we love the interaction from the listeners, and it is what, I mean, we keep each other going, you know, and so this is a particularly good episode because we've just come off the back of a record victory. But there have been dark times where we've been sat around this table and we've all got each other haven't we?
Dark times. Well, anyway, come on, this is why we do it. Everyone wants to hear what we think. Bizarrely, but anyway. So Miles, we're going to crack with you. We were there live before the game and soaked in North Street and then watched it on the telly. But we were there live. We've obviously, a lot of points have been raised in both the fans we spoke to, that the recording, but also some of those amazing homework that was handed in. But just tell me, what's your general feeling about that game? Now you've had kind of 24 hours to sort of stew it over. What are your thoughts about it in terms of, you know, stuff you saw? You know, how it fits into our season and all that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, at the end of the game, I couldn't really believe what I saw yesterday afternoon. I mean, I don't think anyone could. As we pointed out, who would have thought 101 points between two sides, first time since 2002, 14 tries. You know, we've had some fantastic wins against Bath in the past, haven't we? Statistics.
Seven on the bank.
Seven on the bank. Statistics don't lie. The win was... You know, hopefully looking our way, and that, you know, but Bath came to spoil the party. They've had a phenomenal season. They've got new coaching. We won't bore fans with Bath chit chat, but you know, some of those Bath fans on North Street before the game, pretty confident at Cockahoop. They knew they had some players out, internationals out, you know, but they knew they had Finn Russell who can turn a game. And he created some fantastic tries yesterday. However, good Finn Russell is, and how good some of those South African forwards are, who created some phenomenal pick and go tries that we had no answer to in the end, did we? It wasn't quite good enough. We turned up on the day, and I hate to say, that game is going to go down in memory as one of my favourite Ashtongate for years to come.
Yeah. Lee, what about you?
Well, first of all, like you said, it's nice to see Miles smiling on a Sunday evening because we've had a couple of rough weeks with him, haven't we?
Yeah, he's been very down in the dumps.
Very down in the dumps. But for me, I would, you know, add to that. I'd agree with everything Miles has said there, but I would add that was a game that literally could have gone either way, even right to the end. I know we hate using fine margins. There's another one I'm going to throw in, though. And it almost felt like we could have put them to bed earlier. A lot of our turnover ball was keeping them in the game, and that was quite obvious on the TV that I could see. But I don't know. It was one of those. It was such a nail biting game. It really was. At no stage could you relax and think, "That's it. We've got this now." And it was just lucky that, you know, Messi at the end, kind of with the crossfield kick, gave us the opportunity to finally nail it.
I mean, to be honest, after 40 seconds,
it was looking bad.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. And when I looked back, it was on the replay, it was worse than it was when I saw it live because it was the opposite side. We were on the Dolman, it was the Lansdowne. Little cross kick, Big Joe Cocconosigna gets it. I think it was Rich Lane who missed the tackle first, but was coming across. And he's a big unit, Joe. And then Gabs, it's one of those ones where I felt a bit sorry for him because it looked awful, but he kind of was, I think they said on commentary that he got done by Finn Russell, who changed the direction of the kick at the last minute. Gabs was almost assuming it was going to go a bit deeper. And then last minute, he then cut in and then he had to go readjust. And then Joe got a great fend off on poor old Gabs, and he didn't look good. So I thought, oh no, this is exactly what we said we don't want to happen. Yeah. They want to take the sting out of the crowd.
Absolutely.
And I thought, but fair play to our boys. I mean, after that, we got back into, I think looking at my East Czechs notes, we then scored three tries after that and they had a yellow. So it was Bath try. Then we scored a try very quickly from a classic rolling maul. Will Capon and a great finish from Will Capon. I mean, you knew it was a good finish because his cap came off. Because he wasn't Will Capon with his cap on.
No.
He was when he threw it into the lineout and got into the mall. But then when he came out of the try, it was like, who's that? Who's that bloke there? And his cap, is that his commitment that he sacrificed his yellow cap to score that try?
Yeah.
And it was great. It wasn't an easy, it wasn't one of those ones that Harry Thack scores where basically he just gets rumbled over. Capon had to really stretch
for it,
they almost mucked it up, but great. And then we scored a couple of tries after that. I'm trying to look, just checks notes again. The Bath try, they scored. Then we got, it was the one we scored. It was Batley.
Beautiful.
It was Batley galloping. It was a break.
It was a fantastic break from Jimmy.
It was just the whole lot. We broke from our 22 and we cut inside and Jimmy Williams made a break. Rich made it. It was just
so
glorious.
So many people could have scored that try.
And that was when
it?
I thought, right. You know what? This is what we've been waiting for. It was a proper team try, and Batley, it couldn't have been a better person to get that. And he galloped a long way over. So,
tell you one thing I did love is that it was when our players went over the try line to score, it was the expression, just that pure joy on their faces, and it really, the passion and the commitment showed through massively.
And I think we have been a bit down on the players, not individually, and I think just like any fan, we've been disappointed with the kind of up and down nature, and obviously the Exeter second half was terrible. The Bulls game was just a bit meh, and then the Connacht game, we just didn't feel they fired any shots. And I think they know that, you know, nobody's ever said that they don't go out to do their best, but somehow, on Saturday, despite the roller coaster nature, I think they were loving it. They were pleased. They were happy.
Oh, I'm sorry to rain on that fire, Pete, but I am going to disagree slightly in that respect. Not with what you've just said, but I do feel like that was a game where we still made way too many errors.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is the way I'd rather we played expansive rugby and made errors. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, but it was still a game where I don't think we can turn around and go like the Bearers are on their way back yet. I think we're still a long way from.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, the Duchess was saying yesterday, look, yesterday it wasn't in Northampton when you were like 62-17 or something like that, was it? I mean, there was the leaky defence was quite apparent. I mean, you just got to look at the number of tries. You're right. Fantastic as it was to get the win, we still did leave. We let them have too many points. Other teams on the day, I think, would have basically just leaving those defensive holes would have just smashed us.
Well, it's interesting, actually, because, I mean, what you say is right. I can't deny that we let them score a lot of tries. Mm. And there, you know, you could debate how much it was our mistakes or their skill as well, because they also played an expansive game.
Yeah,
they tried to. They actually played a more expansive game than I think we expected. I think we were expecting them to try and keep it tight because they didn't have all their big players, mm-hmm. to try and keep it tight around the fringes, around the forwards, and win with the forwards. And actually, yeah. probably took us a little bit by surprise. But of course, why would we be surprised when he got like Finn Russell or whatever? I mean, the interesting thing was that there were hardly any scrums. And yeah. do you know why that is? Because we didn't drop the ball. So actually, when you talk about our mistakes, 100%, but we actually didn't make as many mistakes in certain areas, the thing that has been frustrating us, because if you drop the ball all the time or knock it on, you have a lot of scrums and then you're under pressure a little bit. Mm. There was only a few scrums in the game, which was a testament to how well both teams played in terms of their accuracy. And that's what we want.
Yeah.
That's what we want. Now, of course, typically there was like something else went wrong and it was like, yeah, we fell off a few tackles. We let them in. Yeah. You know, trouble is we also got into a bit of a role on that second half where we got, you know, they got the momentum and then we, you know, maybe you could argue it was a bit unlucky. We had the cards. We couldn't quite get out of that. So yeah, you're right. We kept them in the game.
We are our own worst enemies though. We've said this so many times. The start of the second half, we need to keep things tight. Momentum was all with us. And we conceded again 41 minutes. And we're thinking, it just feels that it happens so often.
I've got to say, I watched that back and it was a really, really good try.
It wasn't.
It was Russell missed out to Glanville. Russell got it straight to Cocodesigna, and it was that delay. And then he got the half a yard and then popped it inside to Russell and then popped it to go. It was, but you're right. We should have been ready for it.
We should. We tend to switch off, don't we? Yeah. After half time, we come back the second half and tend to switch off. Yeah. But let's get back on a positive note though, because we should say, like, I mean, we did a lot of good stuff, didn't we?
Oh, yeah.
And ultimately, I mean, you don't win a game like that without playing some exceptional rugby. I mean, Jimmy Williams for me was man of the match.
Brilliant.
In a team that could have been, you could have closed your eyes and pick any
but I think eight. it was no kind of coincidence that having AJ, Jimmy, Bernard as our three midfield, we played well, like we did against Sale away, and like how many times we had that combination.
The first game of the season.
We haven't, and that, you know, and I think when Jimmy scored that great try as well, and again, when I look that back, I mean, I didn't see it live, I just saw him break through. Mm. But when I looked it back, he ran such a good line because he basically hid behind Fitz Harding. He was and Finn Russell didn't have a clue where Jimmy was, and it was so clever. When he put his hand out, which has been done before, as we know, by Andy Arend,
and you wonder,
that's a big risk for players to do that with Pat watching. I think there was a bit of, it wasn't just to the crowd, it was a bit of like, a bit of frustration. It's like, I'm the man, I'm Jimmy Williams.
This position is mine.
This is me, this is my
position. He was, I mean, you know.
And he is such a good player.
He was fantastic. And I now feel like that centre partnership, that's just proved yesterday. Well, not just yesterday. Sale yesterday. Leicester has picked itself.
Yeah.
How can you leave McGinty, Williams, Van Rensburg out of that halfback's partnership?
I've got to say as well.
It's just working. They're so switched on and in tune with each other. They know. And how good was AJ yesterday?
He was just
on another level,
he
wasn't he?
Outplayed Russell.
Yeah. Outplayed Russell, absolutely. And
Russell was good. It just shows how good AJ was, apart from that kit. Russell's a good player. He's some great stuff. But you're right, AJ was just... We missed him, haven't we?
We haven't. I think all of the backs played well. I mean, even the running... and let's just say, Rich Lane. Well, what a game.
I was going to say that as well.
His catching, his kicking, his footwork, the cheekiness of it.
He is class.
I mean... He was in that squad.
Do you know what?
He deserved to be there, and massive pat on the back for him yesterday.
The theory is that people like Jimmy Williams, people like Rich Lane, clearly talented rugby players, but they've played a lot of rugby. Mm. And they've played a lot of rugby in the Championship where there's no kind of hiding. There's no, I'm a bit injured. I'm not away for international duty. I'm not.
Yeah.
They played and they, I mean, and fair play to Pat, I've got to say. We've got to give some credit because we have, said recruitment sometimes seems a bit iffy, and it is a bit iffy, but fair play to those signing those boys, and he has got an eye for a good Championship player, but the only frustration is just to play him a bit more often.
Yeah,
James, I mean, Jimmy, Yeah, great. And I'm glad you mentioned Rich Lane, because even though he missed that first tackle, I think after that, he just picks the right
phenomenal.
Lines.
He does. He's
I mean,
phenomenal.
You know, this is a controversial thing to say, but did we miss Max Malins
no.
yesterday?
I didn't think
we did.
So yesterday.
So in
no.
a way, thank God no. for the depth we have.
Absolutely.
In that position.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing now. We're talking about AJ. It was quite obvious on the player cam with Stephen Luatua that Aj was so focused. There was a clip, I don't know if you boys managed to hear it now.
No, not yet.
And Luatua is shouting, AJ, AJ, AJ. In fact, 7 or 8 times. And AJ is not listening to him at all. And he did play like a man possessed, didn't he, Aj, yesterday? And I haven't got the stats here, but he did pull great. Up some phenomenal
stats. So really,
stats.
Should we sidetrack into that? If you listen back
side
to the
entry.
Side entry into Luatua's recording?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest.
Much of it?
Not really. It was kind of
a big success.
No, I think
or another TNT sort of like marketing ploy.
Yeah, I think.
Okay.
I mean,
okay, that's good to hear.
I can't blame them for trying because we're all kind of you know.
Well, we're trying to get new fans into rugby,
yes.
aren't we? We don't want to go the route of the 100 in cricket. However. They try something different and sounds like
I mean, we chose
a massive success.
No, we chose obviously the politest guy on the pitch, Captain Superman. Yeah. But it was okay, but I don't think it added anything personally.
But, I mean, they're going to do it again. I mean, that
of course
was,
they
I
will.
Think that was just it's like dip your toes in, let's just see how it works, and then we'll get a bit more as the season goes on. We'll finish. They'll finish with a flourish with a few bigger personalities. I think you know I can see them when England come back for the end of the Premiership. You know, are they going to risk giving it to Joe Marler?
Oh,
I mean, that would
well,
that would
be
that
bringing
would be
the game into
disrepute. Yeah. Well, look, lads, we want to. We've got to be careful. I've looked at the time. We've been cracking on a bit. But a couple of things, I mean, there's just a couple of other things to mention in that game if I wanted to mention is that I just felt that we changed our attacking style a lot on Saturday, which I think contributed to us. Up to this point, we've been using Van Rensburg as a kind of crash ball a lot of the time and then not having the speed to get there and getting turned over. It was very noticeable to me, and maybe I'm wrong. I saw it once and then thought I saw it all the time. But Randall was putting out some long passes that were missing out first and second receiver, getting it going and getting us out wide. But then we were resourcing those rucks. And they said it a lot on comms that our ruck speed in that first half was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it was very clear that we weren't doing that. You know, we were trying to get the ball out quick. And when you do get quick ball, we look like, you know, we look unbelievable.
It's a different
game,
isn't
it?
That is
what the Bears way is. And I just think it just seems so disappointing that we went away from that. And I think, to be fair, the thing that people have talked a lot about, the Pat Lamb interview afterwards, where he basically says Steve Lansbury rang him up and said, don't like this kicking nonsense.
We've got to speak about that, haven't
we? Yeah, well, we could, I mean...
Because, I mean, I don't know what you boys thought of that. I thought it was very, very strange.
It was odd. I've got to say it was odd.
I mean, I was up at 8 o'clock this morning and I was doing the column for tomorrow's Bristol Post. And I did mention it in there because I just thought, obviously, it just kind of alludes to the fact that there was pressure mounting on Pat.
It would appear so.
And you could see as well, you boys wouldn't have seen this, but on the TV yesterday, the pre-match interview, you could tell...
Under pressure.
It's the most stressed I've seen Pat Lamb.
Well, too right, and like all the fans, we were quite stressed.
Well,
as well.
I mean, you know, I think you're right. I think fans felt yesterday that was his last chance saloon, and you know, for one reason or not, whether you think it's right or wrong, his head was on the block. But it was a really strange comment to make to TNT, wasn't it? No matter what he had said to him, you know, ultimately he's the owner of the club, etc. It sort of undermined his position as a DOR to
me. I think Pat said it to kind of try to show that he was somebody that can listen to other voices and will listen. But I'm not quite sure it came over like that.
No.
Are you trying to say that Pat Lamb's not completely honest and trustworthy in his
I think
comments.
We have to, like, you know, we have to say that in terms of performance, apart from the turnovers and the fact that we were only 6 points ahead with 2 yellow cards and about 10 minutes
to go.
Apart from all that, which was quite stressful, it was great to see a great game of rugby at home again and just see us playing.
Yeah.
And I do think like the full stadium helps as well. I think the atmosphere was so much better than, say, that Bulls game, which wasn't as full, and there's no one in the Atio. And I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think we'll now we've got seven weeks off, haven't we?
We have.
So we don't know.
We did mention, didn't we, before we started recording about, obviously, when you look on TV, the Atio's
always empty.
Yeah, usually. And I mean, you came up with the idea, Pete, didn't you? Like, why can't we, you know, maybe flog some tickets to schools, like £5 kids,
or even to anybody. I mean, the thing is, if you could get, it's not the best place to watch anything. It's pretty basic. It's pretty Spartan. But if you said to, if you had a kind of Atio ticket that was basically for anybody, was like a fiver, and it's like you don't get any, there won't be any refreshments. You just get in to watch it for a fiver. Don't expect any of the bars to be open there. You can come in, and then you can go to the, go to after the game around the Lansdowne. Would people take that? You know, you could sell it to students, things like that.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, students, you know, young schools, children, because they switch off anyway, don't they?
Because then they could run around and like go up. Yeah, no, you could have Brisley doing a few kind of children's games or something in it. But the fact that's is, the players would have something to, some fans to run towards.
Yeah, like they did at the weekend. They were scoring against a full Atio. Even if we said, like, you know, you just fill the centre aisle of the Atio, that is enough. You give them, you know, you say, Get your 4-2 pinters in, because you're not going anywhere after that. They'd love it.
Actually, just on a total aside, it's just reminded me, talking about full 2-pinters, we all very kindly got given a free 2-pinter by Kai, our big mate from the Bristol Beer Factory at their pop-up one. I don't think I've ever had a 2-pinter of milk stout at rugby. It took me about an hour to drink it. It was like having a 3-course meal. I mean, because I couldn't it took me. I reckon I didn't finish till half time, and I poured that at about 2:15.
I did say there was an aura around Pete of vitamins and iron for the rest of the day.
I'm sure there's some people out there saying, "Oh, you know, that's a real man as a 2-pinter of milk stout." And I tell you what. Fair play to you boys that do it.
It was good.
Basis.
I mean, I did decline a beer for pretty much the rest of the game, but I quite enjoyed it. Actually, it was a bit reckless, wasn't it? But we loved it. Yeah. We loved it.
I'm sure milk stout is twice as heavy as any other beer.
Oh yeah,
because I had to hold it with like two hands and like get my elbow underneath it. I mean, I almost felt like I needed some sort of like papoose. You know, when you have a little kid, when you've got a baby that you put round like a baby Bjorn in front of you when you go.
Well, the thing was, as well, I mean, I made the rookie mistake of starting on cider and chicken, didn't I?
Yeah, how could a man like you make a rookie mistake?
It was only midday, wasn't it?
A man of your drinking experience.
No, it was a bit of a shocker, but I managed to get from cider to hazy milk. IPA was the in route, and then milk stout, you know, for the finisher, so...
Well, look, we need to wrap this up a little bit. I mean, just to finish off, I think we need to acknowledge, because there are going to be some fans out there saying, boys, you're being a bit positive here. You know, we nearly lost this game.
Oh, we did,
And I think we need to acknowledge the fact that, yes, we got into a bit of a pickle in the second half, 2 yellow cards. You could argue that we were a bit unlucky with the Hooed one, because to me it looked like a try. Therefore, it would have just been a try and no yellow.
Stay on the pitch.
And, you know, you could argue that when we were, I think we were, where was it? We were 47-41 with 2 yellows.
Mm.
We were looking down the barrel.
Yeah.
But that was the one when we got a penalty. Then AJ, on 70 minutes, AJ missed it. And I was thinking, oh, what? Then that was when Russell took a quick 22 dropout and then rolled it dead, which was a really big mistake, even though I could see what he's doing. And as we joked about the fact that he forgot he wasn't at the rack, because obviously it slows up in the mud. Then we got back to the scrum, and then we won a scrum penalty.
That was the catalyst.
The catalyst. Max, then AJ slotted the 3 that he should have slotted, and then we got back. Then we got back there, and then Finn Russell did that crazy cross kick pass. Richlade scored, and actually everything looked good. But it was I would almost say, you know, you sometimes look for turning points in games, and that Finn Russell 22, you could argue, lost them the game.
That was the key point, absolutely.
And I don't, you know, I know there's a lot of other factors into anything, but if you do want turning points, so we're acknowledging those fans out there that are saying, all right, boys, you're getting a bit over the top there. But you know, we're celebrating the festival of rugby. It was just a banger of a game, wasn't it?
It was. I'm not sure that a Finn Russell fits into a Bears side.
Because of what you've just said. And AJ McGinty fits into a Bears side.
Absolutely.
AJ is like Finn Russell with everything controlled.
Yeah. I mean, you imagine Pat Lamb, you imagine walking in at the end of that game after Russell's done that in a Bears shirt, and you're like, it'd be chaos.
If that game was a weekend away, it would be a weekend away in Ibiza, wasn't it? It was a banger. Forget Ministry
Absolutely,
of Sound.
Absolutely, yeah.
It was more like Ministry of Pounding Their Life. I wrote that one down earlier. I just wanted to get it in. Right, we got? One last thing.
A couple more things. A few little sharp points. We're talking about celebratory afternoon. And can we just say, there's a couple of things which Lee didn't see, but fans who maybe didn't go to the game, things that we loved. We had, let's just say, we had the Commandos abseiling down the Atio, forget Pyro Gate, right in front of our eyes, popped a little camouflage handbag.
It's an army man bag.
Army man bag to produce the ball where there was already one on the halfway line. Lovely little, for the eagle eyed amongst us. To be fair, we'll let the Royal Command Hills off. Thanks very much for that.
I'm surprised you didn't mention it to a mile.
Well, absolutely.
But it's a bit disrespectful because the club obviously thought that they might not do it. They might, they had to have a backup ball on the centre circle just in case they didn't quite execute
their plan. I mean, they marched on, saluted the ball, placed the other one, job done. Another point, let's just say, the crowd, is that, obviously, one of the biggest crowds of the season, but absolutely phenomenal crowd. Yeah. We silenced those Bath fans.
And we should say Bath fans contributed.
They were loud. They were loud, absolutely. And one other little cheeky point is that we loved was a little streaker. It was a cold afternoon and a little streaker ran down in his pants. Well, I don't know. A male ran down onto the pitch in his pants. The best thing about it was Bath were having a team discussion huddle. He tried to join in,
but it was classic.
They were having none of it. They pushed him away.
But more importantly, from a health and safety perspective, none of the stewards did anything. The guy did the thing where he was expecting to be chased. That's all part of the narrative with a streaker, is you want to be chased so that you eventually get taken from side entry from some big unit. He wanted to be on the internet as some of these were. Anyway, he kind of wandered around a bit, and we were opposite. He went from the Dolmen to the Lansdowne. He jumped over, hopped in, and only then did two relatively portly stewards start running, and everybody was cheering them.
We got to say, stewards don't get paid enough for that nonsense. No. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but they've got... I disagree. If I'm a steward, that's exactly what I want, because I want to be the one that takes them out. There's no blooming rules about, going too high, no mitigation. There's no red card down to yellow.
You don't play low tackles here.
Anywhere you want, boy.
Go full Siva on him.
It just added to the final spectacle of the afternoon and put a little smile on our face.
I mean, I know that there'll be people out there saying, it's a terrible thing, it's very dangerous. But come on. It's like, we haven't had a streaker. Streakers were as rare as drop goals, weren't they?
Absolutely.
And now drop goals are back in fashion. I'm hoping a few... I mean, we're a student town. We're expecting the odd streaker.
Absolutely.
Fair play to the boy. Right, lads.
Wait there. We got a couple more.
Also, I just thought, I'll come after you. You go.
Right. I was just going to say, obviously, Joe Jenkins, one of our starlets. Yeah. So, obviously, he's 20 years old. Mm. He's gone out on loan to Cornish Pirates, which would, hopefully give him some game time.
Bit of proper job.
So, I'm sure that Pirates will look after him down there. Yeah. It's a good move.
He'll definitely learn how to drink when he's down there.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And obviously, the one that we kind of, mentioned a few weeks ago with Sheedy has not been officially confirmed yet, but it looks like he is off to Cardiff Blues. I don't know what you boys think about that. I think it's a good move for both parties.
I feel like
the time's come.
Yeah, he's been a great servant.
He's been a fantastic servant. He's one of the the head honchos in the player group, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I do feel like it'll be a good move for him to get over to Wells and play for Cardiff.
Yeah,
and I think it begs the question, is that we need to that's somewhere we need to recruit heavily, if massively, this is the case. Yeah. We can't. We've got a young lad, Sam Worsley, coming through.
He's not quite ready yet.
And no. We need someone at the level of AJ McGinty so that if he's injured, we have to have that level. And I'm sure there's been a bit of speculation, but there's you put something out the other week. But one thing a lot of people have said, someone who is out of contract apparently, is Damian McKenzie, the All Black understudy.
Yeah.
And I don't know, if you saw him at the World Cup, to me,
he fits the bill, doesn't he? He would
be to any team, anywhere apart from the All Blacks, and he's a 15 and a 10. Can you imagine him playing at the gate? Like, what a player.
I think it was Sean Phipps that mentioned it initially, wasn't it?
And he's got a mullet.
And he's got a mullet.
And because the mullet, I said this the other day, is that's where we need to start getting a few more mullets in our side, because Rensburg leading the way. And that's some of these players need to start thinking about their haircuts, because I don't think there's enough thought being put in to being mulleted up in our
club. I do think Caulfield screwed them.
Caulfield could, well, he could go down the old Andy Uren route and the Danny Kerr route and the Stuart Holt route. And have you ever had anybody who's had a hair replacement but done it in the style of a mullet rather than just like,
that would be classic.
When you have hair replacement, can you ask for a style, or is it just a quiff at the top? Anyway, that's another story. Anyway, look, boys, I'm conscious that we might have gone over the hour and we only had one game to talk about. I've just got to remember one thing. Another person I met in the tobacco factory, and you'll remember this guy. Do you remember Chris Hollister, who told who listened to the pod in his hot tub kid?
Yes.
I bumped into it. I forgot to tell you, lads, when I was giving out the business cards, he was in the tobacco factory, and he said, you might not remember Chris Hollister. I was like, Chris, hot tub man. And he was anyway, I forgot to mention him. And I said, have you still got the hot tub? He said, no, it's too expensive. He's winterized the hot tub. I know his feeling. So Chris, just to say, sorry, I didn't mention you right at the beginning of the people we saw.
Well, I suppose no hot tub. He's had to lose the OnlyFans account as well.
I'm sure he did post a picture once of him in this hot tub to it, which went, got
Yeah, we archived that one, about, I think. Yeah. Just about.
So, I think, well, that's to finish off on hot tubs is a nice way to finish. Well, boys, unless you've got anything else to say.
Well, no, I mean, something we need to say is that we've got like a 7-week gap, haven't we?
Yes.
Between the next Premiership game, we've got
the Crusaders game coming, which, yet again, the club have produced a promotional piece of literature
that doesn't fit the team sheet.
The bill. You know, that's our one bugbear of over-promoting and under-delivering. And it's got fireworks spectacular written all over it,
hasn't it?
I don't see that in any way exciting, way, shape or form. But we have got a follow-up period. But we are going to do a few things.
Yeah, we're still going to pod. We've got a few ideas lined up. And we have got the Crusaders game to review if we go.
There's a Bedford away game, which the club are trying to drum up some business for.
I've tried to send out a few feelers on a few people that might be interested in doing a few little recorded things. Let's watch this space. We're going to try and keep it regular, because, as you know, keeping things regular is good. It keeps you good for your health. So we do appreciate everybody listens. But boys, unless we've got anything to say, should we do our finish, which is have a good week, stay safe, and
come on, Bears.